Welcome to The Business Wilderness, a podcast focused on the world of entrepreneurs and the best practices they need to follow to navigate the complex world of business. We feature thought-provoking topics and industry experts on every show.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed and I am your host. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. Charles Nort from Signify. Charles, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you? How's things?
Things are going great. Thank you.
Charles, thank you very much for joining me on the show. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of what you're currently working on, let's get back in time. Who was Charles as a young man at school?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and from a young age, I was like really interested in entrepreneurship and technology. In middle school, I actually taught myself how to program because I was really into video games, and I just wanted to make my own video games. So I picked up this book, Game Programming for Teens. I still have it on my bookshelf in my parents' place in Brooklyn. Taught myself some coding and built some small games. And I was also really interested in like the business side of like the gaming industry. So I would read like gaming industry magazines and look at like forums. So I was really interested in like, you know, programming and entrepreneurship. And then in high school, I actually went to a technical high school in Brooklyn where we had a major system. So sophomore year, everyone had to pick a major. And it was one of the things that drew me to that high school because I knew I'd be able to study computer science and get to advance as like a programmer. So I was able to program a lot more in high school and actually worked in my first startup in high school. And when you're like a 17-year-old kid and you're trying to work on a startup, you're trying to solve your own problems. And the problems that we had were college admissions. So our startup was building kind of this decentralized like college admissions statistics business. So there was like all these, there's a larger, I think Naviance is the name. They were a bigger like college admission statistics company that sold to high schools, but high schools had to pay like a large amount of money to use it. And we went to this public high school that couldn't really afford it. So we kind of built this crowdsource solution where you could see what kind of statistics it took to get to the different colleges. We worked on that for a couple of years, for 2 years even. My co-founder for that, we both ended up going to Stanford. So we worked on it as we were Stanford freshmen. So that was a great like first real like tech startup experience at 17, 18. And then at Stanford, just went deeper into the entrepreneurial journey, worked at a few startups as an intern, launched a bunch of my own like projects, just got a lot of reps in building companies, building products, was the president actually of the Stanford entrepreneurship group called Basis on campus. So was able to connect with a lot of other like-minded people on campus. After college, I knew I wanted to work on my own startup, but I didn't have an idea that I wanted to work on. And two, I didn't have any capital. So I decided to take a job as a PM at Microsoft and lived in Seattle for a year and a half until I got sick of that job and being a PM. Quit, moved back to the Bay Area.
PM as in product manager for those that don't know, right?
Yeah, product manager at Microsoft working on Bing at the time. It was a great experience in terms of learning how to lead without any influence and also having to drive a product without actually being the one implementing everything, because all of my experience before was as an engineer and like coding, and I didn't really know how to like lead a team without being the one that's like driving the execution of it. So it really forced me to be more product centric, have like more soft skills, practice my soft skills a lot. But after a year and a half, I was like, okay, this is enough. This is really cushy, but I don't want to get stuck doing this forever. Cause I see people there, you know, 10, 20 years, just kind of cruising. And that was like terrified me thinking that could become me if I didn't leave. So after a year and a half, I left, worked on Bootstrap, the startup with a couple of friends of mine, And it was in the gig economy space. So we were building an applicant tracking system for all these food delivery startups, laundry delivery startups, everyone that had all these contractors. And we realized that they were building things in-house because you couldn't really get something off the shelf like Greenhouse and use it to onboard like all your drivers. So we built a solution for these companies. And we bootstrapped for a year and ended up getting acquired by Intuit, which was building a new group around self-employment space. And they were really interested in this gig economy vertical specifically. So we joined Intuit, worked on my product within Intuit, like rebranded it as Intuit Workforce, worked on that for a few years, and then worked on QuickBooks Self-Employed as a principal engineer and a tech lead for a couple years, and then left. And yeah, I can tell you more about where I am now later.
Awesome. Wow. Quite the journey. I'm going to take you back a couple of steps. Take me through what it's like to work at these larger big tech companies, Microsoft, one of the biggest in the world, going through Stanford. I mean, where pretty much everybody, the majority of the successful founders in the Valley went to Stanford, right? It's like as the tech college of the world, basically, everybody wants to go to Stanford. So that's a crazy experience within itself. So you pretty much lived that, I don't want to say typical, but it's like, it's known as the typical tech Silicon Valley journey from Stanford to a large tech company like Microsoft. Why not just cruise in Microsoft? I mean, you're going to work on the biggest search engines. You're going to work on the biggest software. You're going to work on the biggest projects. What in you basically said, no, I don't want this. I want to go out and struggle and have no money for a period of time and have headaches and stress and, you know, go into a whole different universe. What happened there? Take us through that journey a bit more into detail.
Yeah, it was a hard decision because coming out of college, I was already making more money than probably both my parents combined at the time. So to do that and then decide, yeah, I'm going to leave and give up this paycheck to not have any income and then do this super risky thing.
Yeah.
That was tough. But so one thing that happened actually senior year at Stanford, Reid Hoffman came and talked to us. Reid Hoffman, he's like the founder of LinkedIn. He wrote this book, The Startup of You. And that was actually really kind of changed the way I thought about risk in starting your own business. And one thing that he talks about is not just having like a plan B and a plan C, but even like having a plan Z. Like, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen if you made this, you know, career decision, like starting a company? And for me, it's okay. Let's say I quit Microsoft. When I quit Microsoft, my goal was I wanted to save a certain amount of money where I felt like I could bootstrap a business for at least a year and then either like get it profitable or raise money. So I had that amount of money raised. So I knew that I had like a year runway essentially to build this business. So worst case is, you know, in a year time, I didn't build anything or like the startup failed. And, you know, what are my other options? You know, I can move in with my parents or like, you know, get another job at like, go back to Microsoft, get another job. Since I had those skills, so I was like, oh, the worst case is I waste a year. I'd probably learn a ton by building this and trying to make something successful. And I'll be back where I started a year ago. But, you know, having grown a lot and having given it a shot. So I think that that thinking from Reid Hoffman in that book was really influential and like motivational. But ever since I was young, I knew that I wanted to build something of my own and grow it. So I knew it was worth taking that shot. It was always like in me to kind of start something myself and not just work for someone else. So that's always what I wanted to do. And that's still like what I'm striving at.
Awesome. So you built a startup, you exited, and they started again. Why? And what?
Yeah, so my last startup, we, you know, exited after just a year. So it was a very short amount of time. We didn't get to spend a ton of time actually like building it out. It was, we went through this accelerator called StartX, which is like Stanford's accelerator. We were at the point where we felt like we could start to fundraise and we're starting to have conversations with venture capitalists and investors, and had gotten interest. But at the same time, discussions that we were having with Intuit about partnerships and using their APIs became acquisition discussions. It wasn't something that we had thought out, but they made a really aggressive offer to acquire us, and it was, you know, life changing sums of money for me and my co-founder. And you know, I thought I could take this opportunity, you know, get to build my product out internally at this company that I felt like had really great alignment where we thought the space was going. I really liked the people at Intuit that I'd be working with. And then I knew that, you know, in 4 or 5 years, I could leave, and then I had a lot more flexibility and optionality coming out of, you know, 4 years at Intuit, having like the money from the acquisition, having the experience of growing a team internally and working on, you know, a fast growing product, that I'd be much better positioned to do something again. So when I took the acquisition offer, that it would always be with the intention that I'll go out again in like several years and take a bigger swing at it. So and I realized, yeah, I didn't want to be working for someone my whole life, and I couldn't not do something like naturally in my just like personal demeanor. I have to be doing something and being building something. So I knew I had to go out and take another swing.
Wow, awesome. And talk to us about your current company.
Yeah, current company is called Signify. We're working on a product called Sign and Wire, which is kind of, we describe it as Stripe meets DocuSign. So helping companies with all of the legal paperwork that they have to do and document workflows, but also marrying that with money movement and payments that you have to do. Right now we're focused on startups fundraising. So dealing with generating your fundraising documents, like your SAFE, and then getting the investment that you need from your investors. So make it really easy for your investors to ACH you the money or send you the money with. Now we support USDC, so even sending crypto as a form of investment. Been working on it for the past few months now, have a few customers, and we're getting ready for a larger launch as we kind of make the platform more robust and iterate on the feedback we're getting from customers. Currently bootstrapped, just me and my co-founder.
There you go, startups, you're raising money, you need to raise money, jump on Signify. How do people access Signify, Charles?
You can go signandwire.com and you can sign up right there. Should be pretty easy to get started.
We'll put the link in the show notes.
Thank you.
You've been through quite the journey, from a young man who grew up in a, let's say, you know, fairly normal, not normal family life, to the young man who's studying one of the biggest colleges in the world, access to money all of a sudden from investors, building out the dream, acquisitions, starting again, so on, so on. During this journey, did you receive a piece of advice, or did you live through a moment that really changed the way you thought about things?
Yeah, I think just early on the last startup I did, the first year was just probably the 3 months before acquisition and like a year after acquisition was maybe like the hardest moments of my life. Going from like bootstrapped founder to, you know, having, you know, acquisition and having like expectations that come with that. That was just really stressful. Like, and during that journey, I also had a co-founder who quit on us like the day before our interview for an accelerator. Had, you know, a person that I thought was like a friend, like create like a copycat of our product and like start competing with us. Had a close friend like pass away. Wow. So like so many things that I went through that, you know, 2 year period, it really just like gave me perspective. And I think now that I'm working on this new startup, just so much more resilience, knowing like preparing myself for the ups and downs of like working on a new business and a new company. Now I feel like I'm much better tempered and much more patient with it, and just have that experience of like having gone through a lot before knowing that like I can get through this and these things like hard times like pass, you just have to keep kind of grinding and staying steady. So I think that like it was a really hard time, but going through that, I feel like a much stronger person because of that.
Wow, there you go. What's your biggest advice to these founders trying to build startups and companies?
Yeah, one piece of advice that I heard that I really agree with is that startups usually die because you give up. As long as you can figure out how to not give up, you can make it work out. So much of like startup succeeding is just living long enough to make something that works. So I would really prioritize like surviving and just kind of grinding until you get product market fit and really starting to see growth. So making sure that you're iterating quickly, just making sure that you're making constant progress every day, and it's trying to like keep your runway alive as long as possible. Because I've seen, you know, lots of startups from like Stanford and like pitch contests, and you know, now I'm like an active angel investor. And the startups that become successful are the ones where the founders just never gave up. They rode all the hard times. They grinded like, you know, for years in the darkness. And then like their moment came to shine and they were ready. They were ready for it because they spent the time building things, preparing. So that's like my biggest advice is don't give up.
Any survivor tips?
Any survivor tips? It's a sprint. I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon. I think there's so much hustle porn, as people like to say, working crazy hours and killing yourself. And I think that's a way to get you to quit easier. Maybe for an investor, it's great for you to, you know, try really hard for a year, and if it doesn't work, quit. And they just get, you know, cross you out early on. But I think you're really, as a founder, trying to optimize on your individual success, not the success of a portfolio of companies that you have. So how do you optimize on your individual chances of being successful? I think you have to look at it as a marathon. You have to pace yourself. And like early on, it can seem really stressful, but like before you launch is actually like some of the least stressful moments you'll have as like a founder, because you don't have customers, you might not have employees yet, like no one's really depending on you. So don't burn yourself out like pre-launch building something, because you're gonna need that energy later on for like the years and years you're gonna be working on this company if it goes well. But still, I think it's important to know when it is time to sprint and sprint in bursts. So there might be, you know, a week or 2 week long period where you have to sprint, you have to stay up late for a little bit, you have to, you know, get that launch out by a certain date, or you have to, you know, make these key hires and you have to be up late finding people to recruit or making that sales pitch. So it's important to have the balance early on and establish that in the company culture.
Wow. Makes a lot of sense, because burnout is real, eh?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of founders quit because of, not because the business wasn't doing well or the product wasn't moving on, because they got burned out. They pushed too fast, too hard. And then, you know, the company might have stalled or might have hit a roadblock, and they were burned out, and that obstacle seemed insurmountable because of that. But if you're refreshed and you pace yourself, you know, you can keep on jumping over these hurdles that come up. They're going to come up. No startup is a smooth ride.
Absolutely. And lastly, Mr. Charles, where can people get in touch with you online?
Yeah, I am pretty easy to get in touch with. My Twitter is CNAUT, CNAUT. My website is charlesnaut.com. You can, I leave a Calendly link open so anyone can like book time to chat with me. So feel free to find some time if you want to talk about anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Charles Naut, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Thanks for listening to the Business Wilderness. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at businesswilderness.com.